This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
Just joining me in the studio now is Graham Pountney. Is it? I'm going to get the wrong pronunciation of your surname.
No, you haven't. You've got it right.
Pountney.
It's
Pountney.
Yes.
Good. Not Pootney.
Nope. Pountney.
Okay, Pountney. Firstly, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Kieran. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming along. You are here to talk about a show that you're doing in March over at the Key Arts Centre.
Yeah, March the 4th, Saturday night. Bit of fun, me doing a solo stand-up.
It's going to be a reflection on the 400-year anniversary of the death of Shakespeare, which was
last year, yes. Yeah. But it's taken me a while to get myself over here.
It's just the linear format of time. You can forget that. It's fine. But yes, and you performed the show at Edinburgh.
Yes, that's right. They brought it down from Edinburgh Festival. I did it there last summer. Okay. And we've done it a couple of times, three or four times since. We've got another booking late March back up just outside London, Thames Ditton. But March the 4th is down here. It's combining with the beer festival as well.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Good timing.
In Key Arts Centre. And we're going to find out a little bit about why Shakespeare was fined for hoarding malt.
Hoarding malt?
Yeah.
How do you hoard malt, I dare ask?
Well, you have bushels of it and bags of it, and you don't sell it on.
Okay.
Well, when you do sell it on, you put the price up.
I was going to say, what is the advantage of hoarding it if it's something you're maintaining to sell?
Well, there was a lack of malt at that particular point in time, and he was hanging on to it. Hmm. But if you've got a lot of malt, what do you use it for?
Well, I can't. I'm not a home brewer myself, but that would be my first thing to do.
You've hit the jackpot. Yeah. It's a home brew. So we're just concerned as to whether Mrs. Shakespeare, Anne Hathaway, ran a microbrewery.
Over in the Stafford area.
Yeah, well, in Stratford, yes.
In
New House.
Yes.
So all will be revealed on the evening.
Wonderful.
And we shall be having some small beer tasting as well.
Lovely.
So there's a great deal going on.
That's coincided very well with beer festival there.
Hasn't
That's
it,
great
just?
Timing.
Yes.
We'll talk a bit more about it. We'll go in a bit more depth in a second. I've got to give out the answer to the ridiculous B-movie quiz, where once again I ask the question, can one question be a quiz? Graham, if you want to give an answer to this, you're more than welcome. I have picked a film from the Movies 24 channel, who produce B movies,
right?
And I have included the correct synopsis to that film and made up to. And I've asked the audience which one is the real synopsis to the ridiculous B movie. As you can see, it's a format that doesn't really work very well, but someone's commented. Hey, it's always nice to have some interaction. The film. So I'm going to ask you which one you think it is. The film I've picked is on the channel Movies 24, Sky Channel, tonight, later on. The film's called Lying to Be Perfect. Is Lying to Be Perfect? Synopsis A. Scared to fail the test of his life, Jamie dresses up as philosopher Noam Chomsky for his final exam with the International School of Philosophy. Will he be found out? Or is it synopsis number two? A frumpy editor leads a double life as an agony aunt, but her life changes when she's forced to take her own alter ego's advice to keep her secret. Or is it number three, synopsis number three, synopsis C, whatever you want to call it? A lonely waitress finds a newfound respect for life when she takes up a new role as a lie detector technician, where a new love interest saves her life from a faulty box.
And what's the title again?
Lying to Be Perfect.
Lying to Be Perfect. Now, I don't know anything about this at all. Absolutely
Sorry,
nothing.
Sorry, I've put you on the spot here, Graham.
I'm not a B-movie fan. It's the first I've heard about it, really, this particular channel. So,
okay.
Do you know what? I'm going to go for the last one.
The last one.
There's lying in the title and lying in the synopsis.
Well, I'm sorry to say that's not the correct answer. I made that up. But that's the first time someone, in 4 weeks of doing this, every single person who's ever got in touch or has been in the studio has always got the correct answer. So this is no reflection upon your skills of getting a B-movie.
Oh, yes, it is.
I don't think this is going to be a vital life skill. But the answer actually was number two. A frumpy editor leads a double life as an agony aunt who takes on her own advice. I really hope someone would guess it would be the Noam Chomsky one, but yeah. Worth a shot. We'll chat more.
Good.
This is the afternoon show. Kieran Thompson on the air until 4 o'clock. Join me in the studio to talk about his new show, Catch My Soul. Is Graham, I've gone already, Pountney. I remembered it because it wasn't like Pooters in Putin, which is a dreadful way to remember someone's name, I'm sure. Graham Poutney. Your solo show, Catch My Soul, it went through the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. Have you done Edinburgh before?
No, it was my first time last year, last summer. Yeah,
successful?
It was, yeah. We had small audiences, but I enjoyed it very much. It was the first time out there, and I just bedded the thing down, really.
I see.
Yeah.
So the piece is Shakespeare, the enigma you described on your poster, finding clues to sketching out the man behind the prose and the poetry. So is it more? This is more of a piece about Shakespeare and the life of Shakespeare as opposed to the works of Shakespeare.
Yes,
essentially.
Okay. It's the man behind it. So I dip in and out of various characters to illustrate possibly what was going on in his life or the attitudes that he was reflecting. And we do a little bit about how he grew up and where he came from, how the actors put the plays together, and I get audience participation doing that as well. They may not realise it, but they are. And and his will and looking at the life he lived and the sort of man he might have been, because we don't know, we can only surmise, but we can surmise from the stuff that happened to him. He was it was a litigious age, so lots of court cases, and he was involved in about 12 of them, and one or two were quite interesting, and he was had up for this malt business, holding hoarding malt at a time when there was not much of it around. And of course, they drank a lot of beer as well. Malt used in beer. So
The early 1600s is sounding more and more appealing to me as the day goes on. Not saying that you can't do that in 2016, but to homebrew, well, why not? I've forgotten completely what I was going to ask her, which is what's fantastic about presenting radio and doing an interview is that you can come up with a fantastic question, then completely forget what you're going to ask.
Live on air.
Yes. So this is live? I didn't... Oh, no. So this is happening March 4th, which is a Saturday evening.
Yes.
At Key Arts. Is this just a one-night thing?
It's one night only. Yeah, so I'm really hoping for a full house, because it's going to be quite fun. It's the first time I've done it as a... in the centre of the island. I've done it in a couple of care homes and things to warm it up on the west east of the island. And now I'm bringing it into the centre because I really want a lot of people to know what I do and have a bit of fun. It's a laugh, really. And I just like talking about Shakespeare. I enjoy doing it. Much of my professional acting work has been based around him. Started two companies that were based around his work. One was called the Original Shakespeare Company.
Yeah.
And we opened the Globe Theatre on the South Bank. I'm the first actor to have ever flown in the Globe Theatre. That means being let down on a piece of string from the heavens. That's a story in itself. I've had a good time. Mr. Shakespeare's kept me alive for a bit.
Excellent.
So, and I wanted to say thank you. It's coming to Newport, coming to Key Arts Centre, the Mangella Theatre, 7:30 on Saturday, the 4th of March. We'd love to have you along because you can get a pint of beer as well.
Absolutely.
And really
Good.
Enjoy
right,
the evening.
Wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. So, looking back at your career yourself, you studied, was it the Old Vic in London you studied?
The Bristol Old Vic.
Bristol Old Vic. So you've always, acting has always been your life then?
It has been, yes. I put it this way. I was going to be an insurance broker in Southampton. And then I saw the light.
There's no fun in that.
No. Well, except insurance brokers will probably say that's wrong. But I've come out of the end of 40 years of performing, broke, and trying to pull myself together by taking this show on the road. It's a fun life, really, given everything. My very first audition to try and get to get into the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School, I borrowed the stage at the Apollo in Newport here, snuck in and did my audition speeches to an empty theatre. But it was extraordinary because having done that, I had the feeling and the strength to be able to say, hang on, I've done this on a stage. I can go and do it wherever I need to do it. And I did. And in fact, that's a bit of my advice, which I give to young actors, is to try and find a stage to do it on, to get the voice production happening. So I've worked in a number of drama schools. I've trained people. I've run theatre workshops on Shakespeare and voice production. I go into businesses and I give them presentation skills advice.
Okay, good.
So a varied career all around this one thing of being able to stand up in public and saying words for other people.
It's a fantastic skill to have, though, isn't it? It's something that is wonderful to possess as a skill.
Yes, I think so. One of my audition speeches when I was a youngster was all about an actor is someone who's being paid to say words for other people who haven't got what it takes to say it themselves.
Right, okay.
Which is a daft thing, really.
Which Woody Allen in the 70s probably would have negated entirely. But there's so many actors, I guess, that I like to think of the likes of Alan Bennett, who is not so much an actor, but definitely a theatre philosopher, I tend to say.
That's a nice way to put it.
But, yes. But I think that people's introspective works can really become some of the most touching theatre in the land. And I know that Shakespeare, potentially, this is from someone who did drama A-level and didn't go very far with it. Shakespeare didn't necessarily do a Woody Allen and write his version of himself 30 different times. He wrote some fantastic plays like Twelfth Night and King Lear and those sorts of things. But sometimes the beauty is in knowing that perhaps as an actor you're bringing the best of yourself out on stage as much as people are getting... I don't know how to word this, right? As much as people are getting when they watch you. Maybe.
I hope so, yes. The best actors put something of themselves and their experience into the portrayal of characters.
Yeah.
And if you can touch the emotional side of it and recognise it in yourself and bring that out at the right points and to illustrate what the character is going through, I think you're absolutely right. The connection is what makes an audience gasp or cry or just think. And... that's what I like to try and do.
It's nice.
I also like to make people laugh.
Yes, too. Good. Do a very good job of it, I'm sure. I will do my best to drag along my girlfriend to it as well and see if we can get tickets to it. Because I think it'll be a right good
luck. Please do. They're only £10 each.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's brilliant and I'm looking forward to it very much.
Wonderful.
I was last in there on the stage in the Mingala Theatre and I won the very first... documentary film prize from the Isle of Wight Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put a little documentary together about a cat. And the cat was called Ernest. And Ernest was blind, apparently, until a new vet decided that he'd actually not gone blind, but he'd had ingrowing eyelashes and therefore kept his eyes shut because the eyelashes scratched the corneas until they sorted that out and suddenly he wore clear contact lenses. And we were sponsored by Specsavers.
Of course.
So it was There's great fun. And we did it all here on the Isle of Wight. Specsavers from Newport helped us out.
Yep.
And I won this wonderful little prize. I've still got the great big lump of glass at home. It's.
I do wonder, when I walk past Specsavers down Newport High Street, why I see a queue of felines just outside. They're holding glasses and also... still in the studio, still chatting to us, is Graham Pountney, who is promoting his show Catch My Soul. Shakespeare on Cue, it says on the poster.
Yeah.
Also noticing on the poster, the fact you've got a little scroll that comes down. Why the scroll?
Oh, well, the on cue and the scroll all go together, Kieran.
Okay.
Because I ran a company called the Original Shakespeare Company, and we worked from the original text, which was published in 1623 as the first folio by two of Shakespeare's own actors from his own company. That huge volume was written from and compiled from the acting company's prompt books.
Right.
But no one's ever seen them individually.
Yes.
But what we do know is that the actors only ever had their own lines on a scroll, and those lines contained their cue lines. They didn't contain the play.
Okay.
So each actor was given his own role as a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where the term comes from, I have no idea. And they learned their lines, put their scroll away, and acted the play.
Right.
Without knowing what happens in the play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the original Shakespeare Company did in the Globe Theatre to great acclaim. So on Saturday, March the 4th, Catch My Soul in Key Arts Centre, we're going to be doing some of that.
Fantastic.
I'm going to ask some people to come up with me and do a little bit of cue script acting. Acting from scrolls with just your lines and listening to the cues, which you'll see on your scroll, and then responding.
Mm.
It's an amazing way of working. But it also shows what Shakespeare was up against, how he had to write his plays, what he was writing them for, the process of putting a play on, and how brilliant he was to get everything else which he's famous for, humanity, fun, laughter, great long sort of beefy texts and things, written for actors to learn from their scrolls, without much rehearsal.
Brilliant.
So we're going to be trying a little of that. It shows a bit of a spotlight on the sort of man he was.
Okay. A bit of audience participation.
Oh, yeah. Yes, getting them up doing that.
Tickets available from the box office at the Key Arts Centre. £10 are also available online at Key Arts website. Is that correct?
Yeah, buy them online or pop up at down to the box office itself.
Wonderful.
And on the phone as well. You can do it on the phone.
822-490. And if you're listening and are not on the island but wish to come for the event, 01983-822-490 is the number for it. It sounds absolutely fantastic. I wish you the best of luck with it, Greg.
Thank you. It's good fun. It's good fun. You can have a good old laugh as well, which is fun.
I feel as if, without going too far into political climates or anything, 2017 could do with some laughter injections.
I think it could. So yes.
Absolutely fantastic. www.vectisradio.com